Welcome back to A Christian's Guide to the Quran. This is Lesson 34. It's about intercession, hell, and heaven, and really a whole lot of other little things. There is a web blog and a written PDF file available on this website if you prefer something written. Today we're doing Surahs 38 to 48, and less do I find it's new or of interest for our purposes, so more and more quickly we're going to be traveling. In 38, the title is another mystery letter, in English simply the letter S, that's the name of the surah. Muhammad continues to lift himself to the status of biblical characters by listing such men as Noah and Pharaoh and Lot, and all of whom either warned or were warned in their day, even as he believes he's being commissioned in his day. And all the people back then considered, quote, the messengers to be liars, end of quote. So too, in Arabia's 7th century, everybody thinks he's a liar. David and Solomon are back, drawing the cooperation of obedient birds and winds, very strange tales about David and Solomon, and another promise of a heaven with equal-aged, ever-virgins, never-ending, with the accompanying promise of the roasting of all infidels, of course. I truly believe in the judgment of God, don't get me wrong here, but the Quran is a constant feast of condemnation, and forgive me because I've become repetitive, too. 39, the troops. Many more descriptive words for Allah in every surah. Here I see the word dominator. Truly a name for this God that matches the character. After mentioning how Adam and Eve were created from one soul and how man has become infidel, he enjoins them to, quote, enjoy your infidelity for a little. Surely you'll be among the companions of the fire, end of quote. In this surah, we see that it is Muhammad, indeed, who is the first of the Muslims. Now, whether that means the first Muslim or just the most important is not clear. Remember, there are other candidates that we've listed before for first Muslim. Finally, it's admitted that the Quran is, quote, a book whose verses are look-alike repetitions. He adds quickly, it chills the skins of those who fear their Lord. Wow. So even believers have difficulty reading this book. We shouldn't feel too bad, huh? In verse 30, Allah announces that both Muhammad and his followers are dead. Whatever that may mean, the stark appearance of that statement is very telling. Just to read that, Muhammad, you're dead, and the people following you are dead. Verse 44 calls Allah the only intercessor of heaven. Now, that's a strange title for one like Allah. With whom does Allah intercede? And for whom? His decisions, his condemnations are also settled and definite. Aren't we blessed to have a real intercessor? One who is intimate with God because he is God, but one who knows the feelings of our infirmities too? Another puzzlement of Surah 39 is the unusual judgment that's added to the list of judgments to be suffered by those who lie against Allah. Quote, their faces are blackened. I saw this once before as I was reading through. Their faces are blackened. That's a judgment on those who don't believe. And then a page out of Revelation in verses 69 and following says, the earth shines, a book is open, prophets and witnesses are brought near, justice will prevail, rewards are given out. Eternal hell to those who refuse the verses, the garden for believers. The angels praising around the throne, familiar territory here. And then in Surah number 40, the forgiver, a strange Moses-Pharaoh tale is told in this chapter. Pharaoh is suddenly confronted by this mysterious Muslim believer who lays his life on the line to tell Pharaoh the truth about Allah. You just see him talking there. We don't know the setting or where's Moses and all this. We don't know his name, nothing about him. His faithfulness is rewarded with protection. And then we see Pharaoh and company all being tormented in hell, of course. In verse 55, Muhammad is told to, quote, ask forgiveness for your sin and praise with your Lord's praise evening and morning, end of quote. Well, honest Muslims of our day need to drop all the mythology that's risen around the Prophet. Even as strange tales were told of Jesus after the original biographies, so Islam has been plagued with sentimental legends, easily quashed by passages such as this. Muhammad was not divine. He was a sinner in need of forgiveness. That's the Quran. Number 41, just simply called expounded. In yet another trip to Genesis, we find that the earth was created in 2 days, then, quote, measured in it provision, quote, in 4 equal days, and then 7 heavens took an additional 2 days a little bit later. I thought that was kind of interesting. Verse 43 is another aha moment. Quote, nothing has been said to you, Muhammad, except what indeed has been said to the messengers before you. End of quote. Nothing new to Muhammad. Then why? Indeed, it says, we gave Moses the book. Indeed. Then why not just speak from the book? Why new revelations? Why this whole book of Quran? 42 is called the consultation. Do we deserve all the evil that comes our way? Well, yeah, we are a fallen people. The Bible doesn't try to hide this. The Quran definitely doesn't try. It says, whatever misfortunes befall you, so it is due because of what your hands have earned. Okay. And he pardons much, but following this is a depressing, nearly hopeless discussion of what is coming to the disobedient. And in the scriptures we are lifted up. We're told the truth about ourselves, but we're constantly lifted up, encouraged to move on. Number 43, the highly embellished. It's the name of the surah. It's an interesting title, don't you think, for a Quranic surah? Whether these words are embellished or not, we may not know. But those to whom it was first given considered Muhammad's words sorcery. Now the word is used often in the book, sorcery. Verse 30 repeats it and again gives us a clue as to how this work, the Quran, might be perceived. 44 is called the smoke, yet another symbol of torment coming to infidels. And no new material in the surah until the very end, where this time paradise is a place where the triumphant will wear fine silk and the richest robes. The large-eyed and voluptuous women will be present for Muslim men to marry. Now, Usama Dakdak, the translator, poses a very disturbing question for the faithful of Islam today. What will the believing women be enjoying during that time? I don't assume that these virgins are all saints, overcoming saints. And surely there'll be a number of ordinary Muslim women there. Maybe not. At least one hadith indicates that hell will be populated mostly by females. And number 45 is called the kneeling, and I really didn't find any new material there. And that's going to happen more and more as we approach the end here, the next couple of lessons. Just nothing new, it's just all repetition. Or just not important for our purposes. Number 46, the dunes. One interesting point, quote, those from whom we accept the best of what they have done, and we will ignore their evil deeds. Quote, so do your best, I'll ignore the rest. Here's a giant difference between Israel's God and our own. The true God does not ignore any sin. Every sin that's ever been committed against a holy God will be paid for, either by the one who committed it or by the Savior's blood, which would cover, if we wanted it to, if we would accept this, anybody in the world, everyone, all their sins could be covered by that blood. Sin's an awful thing. In this, the Quran is correct. But the judgment that you keep seeing in the Quran, except in rare instances like this, is all that Allah can really offer. He makes no provision for forgiveness except man trying his best. But hitting the target in Islam is impossible since there's no stable standard. No one knows for sure where he stands with this God. With Christ, it's a matter of just accepting the sacrifice or paying for all your sins by yourself. It is simple to understand. Number 47 is called Muhammad, finally a surah named after the Prophet himself. And this one is in Medina, very clearly. Right away, believers are told, quote, "When you meet those who became infidels, so strike their necks until you have made a great slaughter among them. Off with their heads." I've commented before about how this is in no way a godly commission. This is the command of the enemy. He goes on to say, "Oh, you who have believed Islam, if you help Allah, then Allah will help you." God helps those who help God. I like better in the scripture, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," offered to Moses, the real Moses, when he was hemmed in during the Exodus. No place to go, nothing to do. God says, "I'll do it. I'll take care of this." Better yet, the Garden of Gethsemane, while Peter's about to prefigure Muhammad, he's got a sword in his hand. Jesus says, "No, well, this is not our way. Put your sword up." And from that time, Peter used the sword of the Spirit to fight his battles. Heaven, in the Muhammad Surah, consists of four rivers. One is pure water, one's milk. Then there's a river of wine and one of honey. But perhaps the words we should take most to heart in this surah are in verse 35. So do not be weak. Do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. End of quote. This is the way of all rising powers, whether working out of Moscow or Rome or Mecca. It's like a lamb when in the minority, but like a lion, quote, when you have the upper hand. Hey, where does Europe stand right now? Where does America stand? Number 48, the conquest. Yep, still Medina for sure. The title gives it away. Bedouins are being told here to face this substantial army, and if that challenged army refuses to accept Islam, wage war with them. And only the blind, the lame, and the sick will be permitted not to fight. And there will be much in the way of spoils in this battle. Hey, why does none of this remind me of the ways of the Lord for our time? Because this is purely the way of the world and the rewards that the world gives. Truly, the way of Islam is a harsh way. Its goal is world domination, quote, for Allah. Those who are with Muhammad are, again, I quote, severe against the infidels, but full of tenderness among themselves. The way of Jesus is better. We do love the brothers more, we're told to. But we are commanded to do good to all men. Good, good. God has put it in our hearts to seek and to save that which was lost. It's in the heart of the true Muslim to seek out those infidels and kill them. I want you to note that all quotations from the Quran today have been taken from the Generous Quran, copyright 2009, used by permission of Usama Dakdak Publishing, LLC. Thank you for once more being with me, promising again that very, very soon we will be finished with the Quran. God bless you today.